Today I'm going to talk about surrender and the cost of salvation. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it.'" So it's pretty specific there. It's a pretty simple concept. Not so simple to live out, but in principle. You know, if you have ever wondered why, though, everyone doesn't worship Jesus, sometimes I'm just astonished by that. Why wouldn't anybody want to be a Christian? I mean, it is like the best. It's the bomb. And if you ever wonder why that is, why people can be in such miserable states in their life and yet refuse to come to Jesus, this is it. It's because to worship Jesus, truthfully, you must deny yourself. And that's the part most people are not willing to do. And in fact, that's a process that all of us learn to do, and hopefully more and more all the time. You know, even the promise of finding life is not enough to overcome the fear of giving up your own life. I mean, sometimes just that idea so rocks us that it can cause us to refuse to worship God. And the consequence of not giving up your life is of course, you lose it. And so the thing that you hold on that's so dear and so precious that is such a problem of letting go of, you know, becomes the cause of why we lose it. And so here, what's interesting in church, you know, I love the church today because we have learned so much more, it seems like, than what we knew when we were growing up. When I went to church when we were growing up, I'm not even sure what that was. I mean, they taught us, you know, about Noah's Ark and, you know, the camels getting in the boat and all, the flood and all the stories. And so, I mean, there was a foundation that was put there. They, you know, I knew that Jesus had died and those kinds of things, but I really didn't know anything about God, about how he loved me, our relationships, or what he really, I didn't understand any of those kinds of things. And it just seems like the revelation that God gives the church today has come so far, in my opinion. And, you know, so we preach grace. I mean, grace is a wonderful message, and it's powerful. And, you know, we preach that God isn't mad. That was a concept. That was a new one. What do you mean? I mean, it doesn't matter how dirty, rotten, stinker you are, God isn't mad at you. And you think, well, how come I'm sure mad at people? How come he isn't? And, you know, and so, you know, I was like, you know, I had to think about that for a while. And, you know, and so, you know, we preach that sin isn't a problem. And it's like, what? There, that'll knock you over for me. Now, what do you mean sin's not a problem? And so we, you know, we can preach all about the good promises of God, but here's what we can't preach. Here's what we can't say. You know, if you want to keep your life, you know, and you can't keep your life and have the prize also. You know, you can't hold on to your life with full intentions of keeping full control of it, living it the way you want, doing what you want, writing your own agenda, just following after your own desires, and have Jesus also. You just can't do both of those things. And it doesn't matter how much we preach the goodness of Jesus and his forgiveness and his grace and his acceptance, no matter where we're at in life and those kinds of things, what we can't preach is that you don't have to change. We know, and every one of us knows instinctively, that the moment that we accept Jesus, it means that we're going to need to give up some things. Even as a Christian, I know that if I am going to be closer to Jesus, I'm probably going to have to give up some things. You know, I'm going to have to give up some attitudes or something. We know that it means that we must embrace some new things and give up some old things. And it doesn't matter how much you preach the love of God and the grace of God and all of those kinds of things. You know, unless we're willing to deny ourselves, it's just a no-go. And so we just know instinctively. We may not understand the patience and the help that God gives us so that we can make the changes in our lives, but we know that we must change. And we know that we have to surrender ourselves. And sometimes people simply are not willing to do that. And you know, you can tell a person, you know what, you know, God loves you. I don't care if you are in the bar every Friday night or every night of the week. I don't care if you do drugs. I don't care what you do. God loves you, and you can accept him right now. At this moment, he will accept you, and I don't care what you tell to him. They know that God's going to want to get that out of their life. And so this talk about denying oneself, though, it started out with Jesus rebuking Peter, which was interesting. It's interesting because Jesus had just finished praising Peter. Peter recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, not because someone told him, but because he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was so impressed that Peter had figured this out that he gave Simon the name Peter. And so that's why we have Simon Peter. He was Simon, and then Jesus gave him the name Peter, which means rock. And so, I mean, there was that's kind of a nice to kind of get accolades from Jesus. You know, Simon, that's really cool, buddy. From now on, your name's Peter. You're the rock. And so immediately after Jesus praises Peter, though, as soon as he gets done doing that, he begins to predict his own death. He starts sharing how he's going to have to go to Jerusalem, and that while he's there, he's going to be abused by the elders and crucified. And so he's talking about these things. And now that they've figured out that he's the Messiah, he starts explaining, well, this is what's going to happen to your Messiah. And so Peter rebukes Jesus. He says, "Never, Lord. This will never happen to you." And he starts going into all that stuff. And that's when Jesus rebukes Peter. And remember, this is just after he got finished exalting him. Jesus says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." I just think that's terrible. I mean, you talk about defaming someone. I don't know what you could say that would be more derogatory than calling somebody Satan. And so the reason that he rebukes Peter, though, is because Peter isn't being motivated by what God wants. You know, he's not being sensitive to the Holy Spirit any longer. He's not being sensitive to the plans of God. He's not asking that question. He's just being sensitive to what he wants. He's being motivated by his own human concerns. And we all have human concerns. And most of us probably think that we're quite justified in the concerns that we have. But Jesus just finished calling Peter the rock, and now he's calling him Satan. And so here's the deal. You know, if you're going to be a Christian, you need to get over being easily hurt and offended by the truth. I mean, the truth that comes from Jesus will smash you. And it will pulverize you. It will break up your stony heart, your stony ground, your stinking attitudes. It's going to accomplish its purpose. The Holy Spirit will edify you and lift you up in one moment, but in the next, he will punch you in the gut, or more accurately, in the heart. And we see that with Peter. One minute he's lifting Peter up, and the next minute he's calling him Satan. The stuff that makes you feel good, by the way, we call that the milk. I mean, it makes you feel good like a Shamrock Shaker from McDonald's. That's good stuff. Got under my beard. I'm going to have a sticky beard. The stuff that convicts you, though, you know, that's the stuff we call the meat. Have you ever seen a baby the first time you shove some meat in their mouth? They spit it right out. It's like, and we just scoop it up and we shove it right back in. But here's the point. You need both. You do need to be edified. You need to be lifted up. We need, positive messages. We need to hear about the grace and the love of Jesus, his patience and kindness and all of those kinds of things. But you know what? You can't escape sometimes the gut punch. The conviction that comes with the truth. And so don't avoid conviction. If Jesus says to you, "Get behind me, Satan," don't get offended and leave. And I'm sure no one has spoken that poorly to you. And so anything short of that, you know, you should just, you know, bear up and keep on moving. Peter is responding out of human concern, not out of what God wants to accomplish. And so even though it sounds like he is sticking up for Jesus, he's not. And that's what's so good about the Holy Spirit. You see, God always knows what you're about. We don't even always know what we're about. Sometimes we think that we're up to something good, but we're not. And so Peter, he sounds like he's being good. He seems to be noble. The truth is, though, he's opposing the good that God wants to accomplish. How much harm would that have caused had Jesus listened to Peter instead of God? That would have been a tragedy of huge proportions. Okay? And that's the problem. When you're acting out of your own interest, then you're being an instrument of Satan. And I don't care if it looks like you're doing a good thing or sticking up for something that's good. If it's out of your own interest, Satan's using you. You're helping him accomplish his purposes. To help God accomplish his purpose, you must set aside your interest. Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." And then he starts talking about the necessity of denying yourself. So he starts explaining this. He says, first he calls Peter Satan, and then he starts explaining to Peter, you know, you can't go by just the things that you want, the things that you think, your plans, your desires, you don't get to do that. You have to go by God's plan, and that requires a denial. So he starts explaining this to Peter. Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Then he starts talking about the necessity of denying yourself. To deny Satan, you must deny yourself. Jesus is telling Peter, being a Christian isn't about getting what you want. Being a Christian is not about being selfish and getting all your desires fulfilled. You know, it's not like finding the golden goose or the egg, whatever it was. I shouldn't even have said that. Something about a gold Midas touch there. How about that? It isn't about being self-centered. Okay, it's anyway. And so you'll never be able to. Here's the deal. You'll never be able to enjoy peace. How many of you like peace in your life? How many of you ever felt like your peace was taken away? Stressed, everything but peace. Okay, that's not fun. Okay, peace is fun. Peace and joy, fun. All that other junk, not fun. How many of you have been involved in drama in your lives? How many of you just love drama? You think so, but you think some people must love it but we have habits. We have some bad habits. And you'll never be able to enjoy peace, though, if you can't deny yourself. A spoiled child is an unhappy child. You want to see a child that's just unhappy all the time, find one that's spoiled. They're unhappy. The reason they're unhappy all the time is because they don't know how to comfort or quiet themselves. You know, if they don't get what they want, if they're spoiled, if they don't get what they want, that is a crisis of huge proportions. You know, if they face the tiniest obstacle, they just completely lose it. And you can't calm them down. You can't comfort them. They'll lay on the floor and kick and scream and yell. And, I mean, the smallest frustration becomes the end of the world. Because that's how they are. Okay, so they're not going to enjoy any peace. Go with me to Psalms chapter 131:2. And I'm encouraging you that if you want to enjoy peace in your life, you're going to have to learn to deny yourself. In other words, every little discomfort is going to be a crisis. Psalms 131 verse 2 says this, "But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content." Have you ever noticed? I haven't had any kids. My wife had the kids. But I've watched her wean them before. It's always such a pleasant experience. You know, you want to be there when mama won't give them the bottle or the nipple or whatever. And because the kids start laughing and they just get all peaceful and joyful and all of that stuff. And that's not what it's like. I mean, if you want to see someone who thinks they are going to die, just watch Mama tell them no. And you are in for it then. And sometimes they create such a fuss, they win the battle. But it's always nice if Mama eventually gets around to losing the battle. Because it gets to looking pretty strange when they're like 12, 13 years old, whatever. And I'm going to tell you, Christians that can only handle milk look just that strange also. And so if you don't have this ability to deny yourself, then the smallest infractions, the smallest frustrations become these huge mountains, unbearable. Contentment doesn't come from getting what you want. To be content, to be a content child of God, you must be able to deny yourself. Calming and quieting yourself is the process of denial. You've got a reason to be fussed up, but you're saying no. You're denying yourself that. You can't reach a state of peace by always having your human concerns met. See, if that's your method of satisfying your life or being satiated and happy and to experience peace and joy, you'll never have it. And so when when Jesus teaches us to deny ourselves, he's actually teaching us how to have peace. He's actually doing a good thing for us. Instead of having a hissy fit when things don't go your way, practice denying yourself. Now, you're probably not, well, maybe you might win all the time. I haven't been able to win all the time, and it's possible someone could be advanced in this. But, you practice denying yourself. Practice, holding on to your peace. Practice just not always having to have your way. And you'll get plenty of opportunities. I'm sure you will get an opportunity. Probably if I go long today, you're going to have to practice it. If the music's too loud, you have to practice it. They don't sing your favorite song, you have to practice it. If the chairs are the wrong color, you have to practice it. If the temperature's not right, you have to practice it. The bathrooms are too far away, you have to practice it. You all practiced it, I guarantee you, you all practiced it this morning when you got up and came to church. Sometimes you cannot help a child having a bad moment. I mean, as much as you want to, sometimes you just can't help them. They will not be comforted. You simply just have to let them wear themselves out crying. Just go ahead. I'm sure all these people at Walmart hate this, but just flop down there and kick and scream and cry, and when you're done, we'll go home. Sometimes you just have to wait until they're ready to receive help, until that moment. And sometimes that's how it is with us. Sometimes God has no choice. It's not that he doesn't want to help us, but sometimes he just has to wait till we come to that place where we're ready to be helped. And that's a place of surrender. That's a place when we're done with ourselves and we're ready for some help from him. God always wants to help us. But sometimes we don't want his help. We want what we want. We have our concern. To us, the only acceptable help is getting what we want. To get help from God, you see, we need to get past ourselves. Setting aside what you want so that you can receive the help that comes from God. Which is the only good help, by the way. But doing that, I mean, it can feel like going to the cross. And so that's what we're talking about when you talk about going to the cross. You're setting aside your concern, as legitimate as it may seem, because you have surrendered your life to Jesus, and now the only life you're concerned about is the one that Jesus wants you to have. And so you're serving his purpose. And so we talk about that, picking up your cross, going to the cross. That's what that's all about. But unless you can learn to do that, you're never going to have any peace in your life. You're always going to be like the little child who's just upset. Now, sometimes to me, it seems like all humanity, and I have to include myself in this, is living like slaves in Egypt. Remember back when the slaves were living in Egypt, and they were just crying out and bawling to God every day, it's terrible here, come save us. And this went on for how long? Finally God decided to send someone to save him, Moses. And sometimes I think it's like that. All I hear is a chorus of moans and groans. And it just seems like no one has anything to champion in their life. It's just all downers. And especially when you live in Iowa in the wintertime. And yet if Iowa didn't have the wintertime like Iowa has, then we'd all be shook up like the world's coming to an end. What happened to our winter? I don't know. And I don't like it either, though. But all I hear is some version sometimes, and I realize sometimes people do have some hard, do have some really bad stuff happen in their life. I mean, you can't deny that. I'm not trying to be unsympathetic or that, but there's always some version of, this is the worst day of my life. I just broke my nail. This is the worst day of my life. Everybody's husbands, significant others, got them flowers, but I didn't get any flowers. Only me. Only me. It's the worst day of my life. I don't know how I'm going to recover. I shouldn't pick on the girls that way because guys are bigger babies than gals are, to be honest about it. That's the advantage of being the preacher. So I appreciate it when someone actually gives a good report, or at least follows a bad report with hope. I mean, there's like some version of, oh, I hate my alarm clock. I don't know what your alarm clock sounds like, but I've got the worst sounding alarm clock in the world. It always goes off when I don't want it to. Fixing my meal. Oh, my lot in life. I have to... If I want to eat, I'm hungry, I have to go out and fix my own food. That is a tragedy, by the way. It gets so bad, I hate taking a shower. I mean, everything in life becomes a point of discontentment. You know, if you don't learn to deny yourself. When God calls us to deny ourselves, He's doing us good. You cannot find contentment by satiating all your human concerns. And it's not that God doesn't want to take care of us, but that's just not always the means to peace and joy. You need to be able to pick up a snow shovel and consider that to be normal. Even though I fussed a little bit this morning. Rich came to do it, and I felt like, if he can do it, I can do it. But he was being happier than me. I didn't like that. Count it all joy. Have you heard that before? You just can't be negative about everything. You can't allow yourself just to want what you want, and be the center of your own attention. You can't live that way. And be a child of God and to have peace and joy and victory that he wants us to have. Matthew 16, verse 25. I want to go back to that if I could. It says, for whoever wants to save their life, which I hope that's most of us, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. So I'm just telling you what's going to happen. You want to save your life, you're going to lose it. That's the word of God. You can question it if you want, but I guarantee you at the end that's what's going to happen. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. He didn't say whoever loses their life will find it. He said whoever loses their life for me. And so that's the extreme version, but you can break that down to every little thing in life every day. I mean, you know, you can get what you want and still lose. I wish I could stand up here and tell you that I never have any concerns about my life. And I wish if I did have the concern about my life were always something big. Just this morning, just this very day, this morning, before I even left the driveway of my house, I wanted to thaw out my windshield cover. I have a windshield cover that I put over my windshield at nighttime, and it had gotten iced and froze. In fact, it was the worst I'd ever seen it today. I pulled it off, and it was almost like a board. It was supposed to be like fabric, but it was like, so I said, well, I got to get this. This has got to be fixed. And so without even thinking, I took it into the house to thaw out. And to me, it was just a few drops of water that would quickly evaporate. A little humidification in the wintertime. To Joan, it was like a flood. And she didn't want my windshield cover off of my car, caked with ice, laying on her dining room table. I did. And in hindsight, though, I wished that I hadn't even have taken it in. You know, if I would have just stopped for 5 seconds to consider what I was doing, I would have known better than to have done that. I'm lucky if I can even leave my shoes in the house. No, I'm kidding. That was my pettiness there. But in hindsight, I really do wish I hadn't even taken it in. I certainly wish that I had been more graceful when I had realized my mistake. How many of you, the moment you realize, oops, you just instantly got your act together? And you ever double down and try to fake your way out of it and through it and out of it and all that, and it just gets deeper? And so the good part of this is I know I'm not as big a baby as I used to be. But trusting God instead of what I see, I mean, sometimes that can just be impossible. That's just not always my go-to response. Denying myself is not always my go-to response. And, you know, I think if I do that like once a week or so, then that I've paid my dues and the rest of the time I should get what I want, right? Before you can look away from your own circumstances, before you can, you know, look away from your tragedy or whatever it is in your life, you must be able to deny yourself. In fact, I don't believe it's until you learn to deny yourself that God can actually come in and begin to heal a wound. That's when the healing begins to take place. You know, he's not really asking us to go without. He's just asking us, let me fix your life. Just stop and just let me. Just trust me, and you know, I'll fix your life and serve the purposes of God all the same at the same time. To trust God, you must be able to deny your own fears. You know, if you find that hard, you are in good company. The apostles themselves had to wrestle with their fears throughout the years of their ministry. They had to grow just like we grow. Holding on to your life is the worst investment you can make because it's the only investment that guarantees you'll lose it. Letting yourself be motivated by your own concerns is a sure way to defeat. And you can think you're winning, but you're not. You just don't know it yet. But denying yourself is a sure way to life. It's a sure way to victory. You know, the minute you decide to surrender, it is the minute that hope springs up. It's like a flower garden starts to spring up in the middle of wintertime. You will immediately feel relief. Even though the mere thought of denying yourself can make you break out in a sweat, It's the way to peace. In the ability to deny yourself, you find hope and purpose. If everything's all about you, then breaking a nail can ruin your whole day. Somebody cutting you off in traffic becomes unbearable. Have any of you ever been mad for more than 5 minutes when somebody cuts you off in traffic? Okay, anything beyond 5 minutes is ridiculous, okay? a day, 2 days, whatever, telling the story years later about this idiot that cut you off in traffic. Okay, that I don't even know where that, I don't even know how to put that on the, that's way out there, okay? Don't admit to that. Yeah. The other day, an enraged man ran over a family of six people. Husband, wife, and the kids ran over them. He wasn't done. He was still so mad. He backed up back over them again and then went one more time. Killed the mother. Critically injured some of the others. What enraged him? What was so bad that caused him to act to justify what he was doing? They're getting what they deserve. What was the offense that was so strong in his life that was unbearable that he couldn't let it go by? Too big to bear. He was angry because the dad of the kids asked him not to blow smoke in the face of his kids. I want to just tell you, on the other side of this, listen to me, please, because we live in evil days. And we're told to be wise as serpents, innocent like sheep, but wise. Okay, when you are dealing with strangers and stuff, you need to be careful. You should be careful with anyone all the time, actually, but you, especially if you're dealing with some stranger. Don't get on their case. Don't offer them your judgment. Deny yourself. You don't need to even the score. You don't need to get even. You don't need to make them know what kind of jerks they are. You don't need that. Just deny yourself that luxury. But this dad with the kids, you see, he had the high road. This low-life guy smoking cigarettes, probably blew smoke somewhere around his kids and exposed his kids to smoke. And so, obviously, that guy's a loser, and he's the champion of all goodness. The father of his family, the husband of his wife, and all of these kinds of things. And so what kind of low life blows smoke into the direction of your children? And so I'm sure he felt very justified in calling this guy to the carpet. But the truth of it is, the dad was only thinking of his own interest. He was just offended. He doesn't know what's going on in the life of that man. He didn't probably stop to talk with him or to get any background or didn't care. He just had his moment to be in glory while this lowlife was standing there in his presence. He only knows that the man shouldn't be exposing his children to smoke. Dude, don't be blowing smoke in my kid's face. You moron. You know, he isn't going to deny himself or to step back from addressing his offense. Now, that's an extreme version, but we know we can be that same way in our homes. Some little offense. We're going to make sure that we even that score, we get that straightened out right then and there. And so the man being judged, he goes off. He isn't thinking about anybody but himself either. And off to the races, everyone goes, and there isn't any peace anywhere to be found. No peacemakers, just troublemakers. What everybody thinks they need, what they want. No one willing to let it go. And as humanity denies itself, as humanity denies itself nothing, I should say, is what I meant to say. This problem that we're having, it's just growing. And death comes. People are just getting so fed up, so mad, so angry, because they can't have what they want. Getting your way is a small version of gaining the world. Getting your way is just a small version of gaining the world. And if gaining the whole world is not the answer, gaining a small version of that is not the answer either. Kill the idea. You have to crucify it. That's what it means to go to the cross. Just kill the idea that you are owed something. Just get rid of that notion. The only one that's owed anyone is Jesus. Because as soon as you entertain this idea that I'm owed, that I deserve something, you are headed towards a bad place. That's the tragedy of it. You have just took the bait. And now you're going to be hauled to a place you don't want to go. And it's not God doing it. If you think that you're owed respect, you'll lose your peace when you don't get it. It's better to deny yourself and just give respect. It's almost impossible to give respect when you think you're owed respect. Some people don't think they should get a flat tire. You're headed towards some disappointment. You can believe God not to have a flat tire, but not from a position of human concern. If you want life, lose your life. That's what it comes down to. And we can talk about examples of a million different ways. Do you know how Jesus concludes his lesson on denial? It is wonderful, actually. It's in Matthew chapter 16, 27. Let's read this. This is how he concludes this thing. He just tells us about how we have to deny ourselves to find life. He says, "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." Who is going to square up the record? When you didn't get to make things right, when you didn't get to stand up for yourself, when you didn't get to demand someone to, you know, kiss your shoe or whatever it is, who's going to square up? You did right, but you weren't treated equally back right. Who's going to square this thing up? Jesus is going to square it up. Don't throw your peace out, because you are not getting what you deserve. Don't throw your peace out because someone's disrespecting you. Or for any reason. Because Jesus is coming back, and when he gets here, he's going to square up everything. And that's what we're talking about. We give him the room. Get the praise from him. Get the honor. Get the reward from him. He's coming back, and when he gets here, he's going to square up everything. Denying yourself doesn't mean coming up empty. It simply means being patient until Jesus gets here. And he comes a lot of times in this life, but ultimately we have to wait till the end. It simply means being patient until Jesus gets here. Don't be a vigilante. Okay, you can survive. Just again, when you tell a kid sometimes, it's not that you can't have this, but you have to wait till next week. Or, you know, till we get a paycheck, or till your room's cleaned up, or whatever. And something that's like, sometimes how many don't want to hear no? They don't want to deny themselves. Okay, but don't be a vigilante and just take things into your hand. Don't be the guy who thinks you got to, straighten that smoker out. Don't square things yourself. Don't attempt to square things yourself. Don't get into a pushing match at the front of the line. Simply excuse yourself and go to the back of the line. Leave room for Jesus to fix things when he comes. Jesus is coming back. And that's why we proclaim this to be the year of the meeting, Yodam. It's the time that we gather to support each other. And we're living in trying times. People are becoming more selfish by the minute, and it's just easy to withdraw, to become self-interested. You know, it's just the natural thing to do. And it's too easy to get tripped up. And that's why we need each other so much. You know, just to maintain our perspective. you know, to rub on each other, to love each other, to encourage each other, those kinds of things. People are just getting fed up. It's getting mean out there. You know, bullying is a big topic and stuff. I mean, they talk about things we never talked about. I mean, they're tired of not getting what they want. And the more pictures that the devil offers of the luxuries of this world, the more discontented they'll get. I mean, we used to grow up, we never even had the dream of going on a cruise ship or something like that. Now, man, if you don't get to take 2 or 3 trips a year, you're just like some sort of loser. And I was listening to a bunch of men complain about their snowblowers the other day. And I thought, man, when I was growing up, snowblower was your back. And so we just need each other. We really do. And I'm just telling you, out there by yourself, you're not going to hear these things, you're not going to think about these things, you're just going to follow after what everybody else is doing, and it's just going to be one big mess. They'll get in the car and drive over a family, for Pete's sakes. The devil, he's getting what he wants. Don't become his victim. Don't be his puppet. Be wise. Learn to identify your own selfish interests. Let the Holy Spirit help you with that. Don't wait for someone to tell you not to blow smoke in the face of their kids, but just deal with yourself. Then learn to deny your selfish interests. And again, sometimes just identifying them can be a big issue. Don't wait for me to tell you you're being selfish. I don't know your heart. I don't know what's motivating you. Most people can't identify their selfishness. They feel justified, not selfish. Their problem is spinning out of control, and they're headed towards death. And that doesn't need to be you. That's not what God's called you to. He called you to peace. He's called you to be a peacemaker. And then He's given us the pattern of how to be successful in that. I'm just telling you, if you'll just practice this a little bit, just pick a little area in your life or a moment when the Holy Spirit brings us to your remembrance, and just be good in that moment. And, just try to get one little victory. You will feel so much better. With Jesus in your heart, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can overcome. All these things are problems. It's not a problem at all. It's only. But if you're spoiled, it's a big problem. You gotta get some growing up to do. But you can actually get to the point where you're not like a spoiled. You're not spoiled. You can have mature attitudes, a giving attitude. You know, one of these days, I don't know. I've wrestled with these things, but I just like to one time just be the perfect husband. I don't suppose she'll get that. I'm sure Jesus probably tells her, you have to rely upon my grace or whatever. it's just funny how we are as human beings. And sometimes it's the little things that are the hardest. I love you so much. Thanks for coming to listen to me. I hope that you consider this to be some benefit to you and reminders and, that you put this to use in your lives and think about it. You'll be so much happier. You'll be so much more blessed. And I know it can seem really, really, really hard sometimes. Just like someone telling you need to forgive somebody, and you think, oh, Lord. But how many of you know when you do, it's actually, you're glad. And it's just in this case, too, you'll be glad. We need to be champions today. We need to stand tall. We need to be the ones that have it going on. We got to have something that gives us the ability to keep our lights turned on when everybody else's is going off. And it's not going to be getting everything you want that's going to turn your light on. It's knowing that you're the victor. Jesus is coming. He's got your reward. It's all going to pan out. You're going to look like a genius one day. They may be laughing now. You may feel like you're at the bottom. But trust me, one day when it gets turned around, oh my gosh. It says they're going to, all those people that just are living selfishly and acting the way they do towards you and stuff, it says they're going to come up by the dozens. They're just going to like grab hold of your hand because they're going to be so hopeless. And you're going to be the only symbol of hope they have. God's going to lift you up. And He's going to put you at a high place. We just have to wait for His timing. And it's not always the same day for every one of us. But God has a reason for your life. And that could be in your family, in your school. It could be for a decade from now. I don't know when such a time as this is your moment. But I know sometimes that we can go through seasons that are so discouraging and so heartbreaking. It seems so hopeless. And sometimes, you know, you just don't even know if you can ever see through the other side of it. You know, will the sun ever come up again? But it will. We're always the champion. We just don't always have the ability to see it. And that's where the trust comes in. You just have to trust. Know that you know that you know that you know that God loves you. It's going to be all good. You're going to be so happy. It's going to be so wonderful.